This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads today's show are as follows. Cryptocurrency malware in Google Apps. Will Facebook, Twitter pay for the election follies? iPhone 10 impressions. Who owns your content? Plus, of course, all of the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1236 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, October 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, support for this show can be taken care of at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider, your support, or PayPal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners of the show. And before we get started tonight, had a huge, massive cleanup here in the studio over the weekend. Cables, wires, power, you name it. Everything was messed with. And I can tell tonight that we're just a little soft on audio. So, and maybe I missed a button here or there. But anyway, that'll have to be dealt with post-show. I thought I was all dialed in. But I can tell as I started the show tonight, levels look a little low. But in production, it shouldn't matter. But that's what happens when you go through and touch things that you haven't touched in a long time. But anyway, we'll make it through the show, no problem at all. So, hey, for those of you brand new, hey, thanks for being here. And after 1,236 episodes, every once in a while, you gotta tweak things. But we want you to take your time and get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the site. Of course, check out all the great content on the site. The writers are putting new content up almost daily. And of course, you can listen to past shows as well. But we want you to get subscribed to the show. And to do that, you just write on the right-hand column of the website. You see there's links there to Apple Podcasts, on Android, by email, Google Play, on Stitcher, via TuneIn, or just an old-school RSS feed. So definitely get connected up with the show. We want you to get subscribed. And again, visit the site daily for all the great content that's on the website. And of course, if you have a comment or anyone has a comment on the show, we want you to email geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, the Twitter account is @geeknews. So I respond to tweets over there. Sometimes people get blocked for their stupidity, but usually folks in the Ohana are not included in that group. But join our Slack channel by sending an email requesting to be part of the Slack channel. I'll send you that invite. Of course, you can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook just by searching for my name. You can watch this show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku. You can listen via the Apple or watch via the Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling that device to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can listen on Stitcher. You can watch or listen at blueberry.com, or you can tell your Google Home device to play the podcast Geek News Central. Partner shows include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain. Of course, the Pro Gear site is written by my team here at Geek News Central. The New Media Show, co-hosted between Rob Greenlee and myself. And of course, the Podcast Legends Show, which hasn't had a recent episode. But anyway, that's where to go check things out. But of course, this show would not be possible without our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And you can find all our deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy is the place to go. And really, what's there is the ability for you to save money. And whether it be on domain names, whether it be on their product purchases, whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, which also includes a free domain, you really cannot get beyond that, be honest with you. But 1 month free trial with GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. We're here at the end of the month, and look at the numbers. We're a little little behind what we normally are from a sales standpoint, but that always is not the complete picture. So we'll see where that is here next week or so when they send in the results. But nonetheless, down just a little bit. But I want to thank all of you for your ongoing support of the show. It is greatly appreciated. Again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. This is a place to get all these great deals, get hooked up with my promo codes so that you can save money on your online domain products and services. And again, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. So let me just kind of run you guys through what's been going on here. Just a little quick update before we get into the content tonight. Deep clean of the studio. And just looking at the recording on that system, it's down 3 or 4 dB. So maybe I left something in bypass. I don't know. I'll figure it out. So I'm noticing my headset, the ears are hearing a little different sound tonight. But I thought I had it all fixed. And I really didn't break anything. But when you're touching a mixer and you're getting the dirt and grime off it, and you have a tendency to move buttons here and there, that's the way things happen sometimes. But just really kind of a top level down, clean. Here in Hawaii, we have this red dirt, and it's just, you know, your tropical island. It's, you know, supposed to be clean and beautiful. Well, what comes through the windows? And we leave the studio, you know, when I'm home, the studio is open in the air. You know, the trade winds blow through. And as I've showed you guys many, many times before, about every year, 18 months, I have to change all the screens out because they get to the point where they can't be washed down anymore. They get a little grimy. And it's because of this red dirt that is just invariably transferred through the air, which makes it into the surfaces and onto things, and really causes, it's very corrosive. So I have to, you know, take some time to keep the equipment clean. And if I don't, stuff will, you know, I'll start to see some issues. So that's just kind of what happens here. Plus, I'm getting ready for the updated TriCaster and all that. So just kind of doing some planning, cleaning house, lightening the load, as one would say. But that's kind of what happened on Saturday, post-New Media Show. And, of course, we also had a CES planning meeting on Saturday, so that went well. Took a trip to the storage unit and dropped off a bunch of stuff that I didn't need, essentially here in the studio, so that freed up some room. And then Sunday morning, I treated myself. I said, anybody want to go see Blade Runner 2049? And three of my kids expressed no interest to go. And I thought, man, they're just missing out on what is to be another classic. And so I trotted my butt down to the movie theater and paid the $17 interest fee or whatever it was. And, you know, spent $12 or $13 on of some popcorn. And, you know, it's just insane. But I got to sit in a nice reclining chair in a Dolby crazy theater and watch Blade Runner 2049, and it was worth every penny. I enjoyed it. I definitely look forward to adding that particular movie to my collection. I think I got it. I got to see it on the very last day it was actually in the theater. So it may be in select theaters around you with some limited showing times, but boy, awesome movie. Awesome. And I'm going to have to go back and watch the original Blade Runner again, because there's a few things that I was kind of like, huh? But I'm definitely looking forward to this to coming out on DVD and or actually on digital, and I'll buy the digital version of it. And I do every once in a while in these type of movies that are destined to be classics again. I thought it was awesome. I had a great time watching Blade Runner, and I don't know how many of you did as well, but it was a good movie. Okay, so let me get into the stack here. And we got a lot to cover tonight. Not as much as the last show, and it was a little... I got down to the last show, and I was kind of like, it was a little too much. And I think Kirk noticed it. And he, I think he adjusted my stack a little bit tonight. And I appreciate him going through. But the first thing I want to talk about is something I headlined in the beginning of the show, talking about cryptocurrency basically creeping into, via creepy code or malware, into the Google App Store. The Google's anti-malware protections have failed. And what happened here was researchers at Trend Micro found three programs available for download in the application listings that were using spare CPU cycles on people's smartphones to mine Monero using code built by, of course, once again, CoinHive. The mining apps were variously disguised as a wallpaper collection, a wireless safety app, and software to help Catholics with their rosary prayers. Essentially, the software would appear to do one very simple thing while sneakily using hardware and battery power to mine XMR coins for its masters. Now, I don't know how many coins this thing could actually mine with via a cell phone, but that was the operation mode for these folks this time. Now, the apps have been removed from the Google Play Store, but what was going on was that the apps appeared normal in the Play Store, but once they were installed, they contacted a remote server and downloaded and ran the stealth mining code. And we know CoinHive was hacked last week, and it's no longer developing the version of its JavaScript code that harvests cryptocurrency on devices without warning users. So anyway, that was went down. Once again, the mobile phone seemed to be the big vector in basically doing this kind of stuff, and also websites, unsecure websites. So I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon, but it, you know, I think it does raise questions for all of us to really pay attention to the apps that we're installing on our mobile devices, for sure. Next topic is there's an article over on New York Times that talks about Senator Mark Warner, who is, I believe, a Democrat out of Virginia. And this senator is essentially, he's going to war against Facebook, Google, and Twitter, who, of course, are being accused and have, well, I guess, self-admitted to spreading foreign propaganda during the the 2016 presidential campaign. And he is basically on record saying that he wants to make clear that those businesses who have made major mistakes before and after the election are on notice. He says they've grown so quickly, I'm not sure they fully realize implications of all their power. So this week, he is the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee, will push for new answers. Executives from Facebook, Google, and Twitter are set to testify at congressional hearings, for most of you that are listening to the show, today, Tuesday, and of course Wednesday of this week, which would be October 31st and November 1st. And lawmakers are taking a critical tone with Silicon Valley. You know, I think a lot of it is a lot of pointing fingers. But let's be honest, I don't know how many people were, how should we say this, influenced to vote on one ticket or the other because of what was on Facebook. I think by and large, personally, I think by and large, people know where they lay politically, whether it be left or right, and have a pretty straightforward thought process on where they're going to go. I don't think that even on the independents sides, I think the independents that are out there look at the lineup and weigh their issues and weigh their positions and vote. I don't know how. No one has ever put anything on Facebook that was so compelling to make me go, I should switch who I vote for. I don't think, these values that each and every one of us have, And again, it's, you know, whatever your politics is, that's cool. But I think if you really think about it, a lot of these values were formed in the family you grew up with and the, you know, the discussions you had at the dinner table. Now, sure, some people may have grown up in an ultra-liberal home and turned conservative, or someone may have grown up in an ultra-conservative home and, you know, vice versa. There is some of that that happens. And the exposure to, liberal teachings in college and, you know, all those things have an effect on people. So I think what you end up having is most people are pretty set in their ways. Young folks are often switching sides from time to time, which is kind of typical. But I think the majority of voters know how they're going to vote before the election's even announced. You know, I think most folks vote D or vote R, and that's the way they always vote. And that's the way, by golly, that doesn't matter what anybody's going to say. So I think these critical tones against Google, Facebook, and Twitter, well, they're going to come, you know, the chickens are going to come home to roost, and they're going to be forced to report and do everything that the rest of the communication world does. What does that mean for little itty bitty companies like mine, for example, that let's say we have someone come in and buy a political ad across a number of podcasts? Am I going to be required to do that reporting too? It's yet to be seen. And those reporting requirements are pretty strenuous. So if you're going to be going down that road, you got to be prepared to do the reporting. But I think the hammer's coming, and Congress wants someone to beat up on both parties, and I think they're going to go after the tech companies. But I'd love to hear from you guys. Have you ever been influenced in the way you vote by something you read on Facebook or something you see on Twitter? I just don't think, it may be a small percentage, but I just don't think it's that much, to be quite honest. And I might be wrong. And if so, someone out there is going to explain to me why I am wrong. But we do know, some new news reporting out, that Russian-linked Facebook accounts helped stage divisive events. And people linked to those Facebook helped organize or fund events in the United States around the divisive topics, often playing both sides of a hot button, according to the Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal cited an example in July when a Russian-based firm organized two events on the same day. The first was a Blue Lives Matter rally to honor fallen police officers in Dallas on July 7th. The other was for an event near Minneapolis where people gathered to honor Philando Castillo, a black man that was shot fatally by a police officer during a traffic stop. So that tells me they were playing both sides of the field here. And so you would think, now let's just look at it from this perspective. Texas, I think, is pretty conservative. And a Blue Lives Matter rally to honor police officers in Dallas probably would have been heavily attended. It's, you know, they have strong, probably law enforcement support there, based on just kind of what little I know of Texas. Now, so far as Wisconsin goes, well, I think we know that that state can go either way. So this rally to honor, and again, was this politically charged? Probably to a certain extent. So, you know, were they trying to make were they trying to help the cause in Minneapolis by making things, you know, basically the liberal vote to get out? I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic when they were playing both sides of the field, and someone smarter than me is going to have to give us the analysis on this. But anyway, there is a story out that the Russians helped organize these events, which is very concerning. I think it should be concerning to everyone that lives in the United States. For the rest of you, you probably could care two hoots about this. But anyway, this continues to dominate the news, and it will for, I'm sure, a long time here. All right, over at Wired, the first impression of the iPhone X. And this guy's a longtime iPhone user, reviewer. And he was talking about the poop emoji that, you know, he's basically talking about as a naughty character. And again, one of the 12 possible emojis in the iMessage app. So I guess that's real professional. But the thing I was curious about in his review was his thoughts on the unlocking the screen. And he says, I knew I'd mastered the gestures in iPhone X when I found myself trying to use them on my iPad. Oops. And also, my finger no longer drifts to the home button, but pathetically swipes upwards to no avail. And now there's that awkward moment when I expect the iPad to unlock itself when the camera looks at my face. So he says with the iPhone X, the Touch ID fingerprint, of course, being replaced with the Face ID, he says, does it work? And he says, pretty much. And that, to me, is pretty telling. Pretty much means sometimes. He says, it seems reliable fending off intruders. I have thrust my phone into several people's faces, though considerably fewer than the million that Apple says they tested with. And I have to try, or the millions I'd have to try before a false positive, and has not fallen for any of them. I even offered up my own headshot to the camera, a no-go. How has it dealt with my own real-life face is another matter. There have been times when, despite a clear view of my face, the iPhone iPhone X has ghosted me. Apple tells me that perhaps I wasn't making what the iPhone X considers eye contact. I wouldn't want it to turn on every time my face was in camera range, would I? Now, let's think about that. This is what you're going to be seeing now with the iPhone X. People driving down the road, they're going to be holding their phone up in front of their face to get the phone to unlock, versus being able to use their finger to unlock the phone and then glancing down at the phone. Either situation's bad, right? But now we're going to have people actually picking the phone up and putting it in front of their face to get the iPhone to unlock. He says, eventually I devised a strategy when waking my iPhone, I think of it as De Niro's mirror in Taxi Driver. You talking to me? Well, I'm the only one here. I then see if the little lock icon on the screen has released its latch. Alternately, a good way to see when you've been recognized is to notice a generic message on the lock screen saying you have a notification from Facebook, Gmail, or wherever. When you and your iPhone X make that turn on connection, those flesh outs with the actual content of the message. Was an option, but in any case, once I got the hang of it, I found I could dial down the De Niro and get it to unlock more naturally, though I'm still mystified that sometimes it goes straight to where I left off and other times asks me to swipe up. And I really like Apple Pay with iPhone X having to double click on the side button and then use Face ID was a clearer way to do the transaction. So he kind of rambled there, but in other words, the face unlocking is so-so, and I kind of expected that. I'm still, you know, that's a deal killer for me. It's got to have the ability to unlock with a fingerprint. It's just too handy. You know, it really, really is. Don't want to hold my phone up and look like a doofus unlocking the stupid thing. I really don't. Big chug of H2O here. So who actually owns your content when you post it to the web? Well, you still own the copyright, but that's only part of the answer. There's no forms to fill out, no claims to make. Although if you think something's going to be worth millions in the future, it's a good idea to get some kind of proof that you're the original creator. We know that. So as per the U.S. Copyright Office, this instant copyright applies to original works of ownership, including novels, movies, songs, and architecture. You can't copyright facts, ideas, systems, although you can sometimes copyright the way they are expressed. If you've got a revolutionary new app, maybe take legal advice before publishing the details on your Facebook page. Of course, Toddism should be copyrighted to this show. And matter of fact, we ought to start making some t-shirts with Toddisms on it. I think that would be fun. But if you look at terms of service and terms and conditions on a variety of platforms, and if you want to go down the rabbit hole really far and look at this, the question you need to ask yourself, do you still own the copyright on vacation photos you post to Facebook? Yes, you do. But by transferring them to the Facebook servers, or indeed any other social network or platform, you give away a license to reuse those pictures for various purposes, and you won't get a penny back. For Facebook, it's a non-exclusive, transferable, sub-licensable, royalty-free, worldwide license. For Twitter, it's a worldwide, a non-exclusive, royalty-free license with the right to sub-license. And for Instagram, it's a non-exclusive, fully paid and royalty-free, transferable, sub-licensable, worldwide license. So again, as you can see, there's some complex language being used to us across all these networks, and it's the same. If they sound vague, they're supposed to. But it gives Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram breathing room to work their content the way that they want to, and to post it other places where they want to. And so just like this podcast, tonight, when I post this podcast on my website, essentially because I'm live and I'm doing it on Facebook right now, this show is copyrighted. But I have a Creative Commons license set up for this show where you can share snippets as long as you attribute it back to me. I'm very liberal in what you're allowed to do with this content. And it's, you know, the license that I've had for this show from the beginning, because I want this show and this content and segments of it to be shared far and wide, because I ultimately want people to come back and listen to it. But Geek News Central is a brand that I protect. It's a brand that I own. It's a brand that I have put a lot of sweat, blood, and tears into. So that is something that I protect. And the content on the website is all original. The copyright, all the writing is original. So here's the crux to this thing. You have to decide. You could set up your own .com. You could put your pictures there, your movies there. They're 100% copyrightable. You can lock them down, make sure that people are paying licenses to use them. But oftentimes, media companies lift pictures and videos, use them, and ask for forgiveness later. And very rarely do they get taken to task and be made to pay for the content that they used on their newscast. I've been asked before by an organization, a television organization, to reuse part of an interview I've done at a variety of tech shows. And my answer to them is always yes. You can reuse the content, but you have to pay for it. And oftentimes, or about 99% of the time, they say, we pass. We don't pay for content. We give, their big thing is, we're going to give you attribution and link back to you. Well, that's crap. That's not worth it to me. I'd rather have the exclusive to be on my website and get the traffic there versus sending the traffic to Business Insider or somebody like that. But you have to be careful and protect your content, because if you don't protect your copyright work and have it taken down when it's being published somewhere else, you basically have to, you know, go on defense. But a lot of people don't. A lot of times people don't even know their stuff's being reused somewhere else, unless you get lucky and see it and catch a newscast or whatever it may be. So news organizations get away with a lot. They shouldn't, but they do. Hey, NASA has released a playlist of the universe's spooky sounds. So we've got one of the top ones was the was Juno, the spacecraft that was out by Jupiter, where it crossed the Jupiter's bow plane. And wow, some very, very cool stuff. So they've got a bunch of spooky sounds for you, being that Halloween is here. Also, if you want a star watch or asteroid watch or meteorite shower watch, there is going to be a Taurid, T-A-U-R-I-D, meteorite shower. And it's going to be on overnight and over 10th and 11th for those of you in the northern hemisphere. In the southern hemisphere, the South Taurid meteorite shower peaked out overnight on October 10th. So you already missed it, at least for this year. But anyway, there's some link up in the show notes where you can watch the meteorite show. It's really cool. If you've never stayed up for one and had a good sky, it is really, it's pretty awesome. I got to witness a meteorite shower at 25,000 feet over a blacked out Afghanistan on night vision goggles. And it was, wow. It was really cool. It's for, you know, initially you're thinking something else is happening, right? Trace around or something like that. But when it's way above you and, you know, you see the flashes of light and the streaks, it's pretty cool on night vision goggles to see it. You can see a lot more than you can with the naked eye. I'll tell you that, that part. Hey, there was something I was going to share with you guys. And I should have done it at the beginning of the show, but if you allow me, I want to address one thing that has been in the news. It's about this opioid epidemic. You guys remember back in 2004, I got hurt really, really bad. I spent 13 days in the hospital. Extreme pain. Was on a morphine drip for 10 days, and then switched to, I was getting ready to come home and basically fly back to Honolulu from Bahrain. They were giving me morphine and a pill that was having this negative reaction, was making me break out in sweats. And long story short, I got back to Hawaii, and the following day I went to see my new doctor, my neurosurgeon, and basically explaining the prescription that they had given me, what it was causing me. And, you know, he took those pills and made me a new prescription. And what he put me on was a dual prescription of Oxycontin and oxycodone. To my knowledge, both of these are opiate-based pain pills. And he told me, go to the pharmacy, get them, and don't take your first dose until you get home. So, and I had a driver, my wife drove me, so I got this prescription, never had taken any pain medicines ever in my life, and, you know, drug-free, the whole nine yards, my entire life, and got back to the house, and took the dose that he had prescribed to me, and for the next 4 hours, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. I'm going to be like this for the next 6 weeks. And luckily, things kind of subsided, and I was on a schedule for pain management. And what happened to me was I never felt the need to go take another dose of this prescription medicine. I took it on schedule as prescribed. But one thing that happened to me on that medication, I turned into a bastard. I turned into this mean dude, and it was driving my wife insane. Complete different mood switch, and it came to a head. I don't know. The time elapsed me now, but like 5 weeks in, and I was supposed to go see the doc, and he was going to reassess me and decide what I was going to do with my pain regimen, and I basically said, listen, she's like, either you figure out what's going on with you or I'm out of here. You know, this is enough. So I went cold turkey, and I had been on a pretty high dose of this pain medicine. Now, in retrospect, 2020, I shouldn't have done what I did, but going cold turkey made me figure out what it was like that people that are drug addicts go through, and I had just light withdrawals, hivey-jiveys, skin crawling. I mean, it was for like 3 days. It was really weird. And, of course, really bad the first 24 to 36 hours. And then, you know, and then finally this stuff was out of my system. And lo and behold, I was already pain-free, and I just didn't even know it. I had probably been pain-free for a while and had been on this pain med and not needing it at all. So it really kind of made me go, wow. And I didn't need it. I didn't feel, and I wasn't like, I was just following the instructions, right? Like all of us do with our doctors. They tell us here, this is what you take. This is what you do. These doctors don't know our own bodies, and we have to be careful when we're on these pain meds. Now, luckily, I wasn't self-deposed to needing this stuff anymore. And when I went and saw the doc, he scolded me. He said, "Man, you could have like had a heart attack, and you know this was not. I was going to step you down over a couple of weeks." And you know he was really like giving it to me, right? Well, you know I made it through. I'm alive, and you know it's on to better days, right? But I really said at that point, based upon my mood, not from an addiction standpoint, but from a mood standpoint, I never want to have to take this stuff ever again. I would opt for something different and hopefully something not as hardcore as this. So we know it's a problem. We know people are dying. We know there's a heroin epidemic. We know that people are, you know, getting doses on the streets of pills that they don't know what's in it. It's a real problem. So if you think someone's mood has changed in your family and it's, you don't think they have a drug problem, for me it was a mood change. So you need to talk to them about that. You know, find, you know, try to figure out what's going on, because the mood change may be an indicative of a drug usage. For me, again, it wasn't an addiction standpoint, because I, again, took as prescribed and came off it because my wife was going nuts because of my mood. So at least for me, that's the only thing I can share is what my effect was personally on an opioid 2 opioid type of prescription painkillers. Thank God I've never had to go back and use a painkiller since then, you know, aspirin or Tylenol or something like that. But anyway, I wanted to share. I was going to talk about it on the last show and forgot, and it just kind of hit me for some reason tonight, and I dropped this here in the middle of the show. So thanks for being patient with me, but you know, look out for your loved ones out there, okay? They may have an issue, and you don't even know it, but it may be a mood change that could be indicative of something going on. It could be a telltale sign. So anyway, I just wanted to share that and move on here. And I think I've told that story on the show before, but for folks that have been around for a while and haven't heard it, I wanted to put it out there again. But yep, just my experience. All right, back to the tech here. And transition flip. The newest Roku streaming stick is down to just $40. So this is a deal that's available. And so if you haven't picked one up, I got the new Amazon Fire TV. It arrived, the 4K one. I hooked it to a 1080p. And it's nice. It does a good job. Hey, Amazon Basics. Their stuff, I've had good luck with Amazon Basic products. So if you want to make your holiday travel a little easier, they've got some discounted Amazon Basics luggage. And a lot of this stuff is nice and priced well. So definitely check it out. The Amazon Basics Hard Cider Spinner, 24-inch black. And it's still $70. It's insanely popular, insanely inexpensive. So always look for the Amazon basic stuff, their white label version of products. You have a doggy running around here? My daughter today was with me for quite a bit of the day, and she wants a new puppy really, really bad. And I'm just like, we got to get this cleared with mom. And I'd rather have a dog that's a little bit older, that's already potty trained. I am not good at potty training dogs. Matter of fact, it's like the worst thing ever. You know, send the dog off to obedience school for 6 weeks and then bring it back. And I'm not a good doggy parent when it comes to potty training a dog. But anyway, Waggett is a Fitbit style health tracker for man's best friend. So there's a ton of tech out there for human health and tracking. But if you want a little one for the pooch, you can get one for your doggy. And you can see his heart rate, the activity, whether or not he's staying close to home. You can even log the nutrition. It costs $5 a month. So he needs his tech too. So pick your doggy up a Waggett. It's a Fitbit style health tracker. So available now. Amazon has updated their devices that starts with an A, that, you know, that thing we call out to start music. But they made some new updates, and there's some new skills that Amazon device has. I'm trying to be careful here not to say Alexa like I did on the last show. Thanks for reminding me, Kirk. But definitely check these new skills out, especially tying into your smart home. How many of you kind of gotten stuck and feel uninspired at times? Well, the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have got 10 office tweaks to renew your productivity. Everything from changing the fonts to cleaning your desktop, to rearranging your desk, cleaning the office. That was me because I just couldn't handle it no more this past weekend. It helps you get inspired and rearrange and throw out the old and, you know, all that stuff. So definitely check out these tips at MakeUseOf.com. Also, Apple, man, their stock just exploded. And, of course, the earnings call is coming out here. They had a pretty good day. Shares of the electronic giant hit an all-time high of $168. And this valuing the company, $860 billion. Woo! Up about $2 or 2% from the previous day's trading. And they're saying that iPhone 10 sales are off the chart. So the fanboys are sucking this bad boy up. Here is the deal of the day that I think is the best one so far. Store, listen to this. Listen to this, my good friends. Store 4 terabytes. Yes, 4 terabytes on a little mini external hard drive that requires no power cord. It's the Western Digital Portable Hard Drive. You can hold up to 4 terabytes of movies, music, photos. $100. $100 for this. This is a deal. Western Digital 4 terabyte Elements Hard Drive. $100. It's one of those mini ones. Okay? Mini ones. It's got a spinner in it. Doesn't have an SSD. So just be aware of that. USB 3, of course. Not a bad deal. Link will be up in the show notes. Definitely check that out, all right? Forgot your iPhone passcode? Well, sometimes it happens. I don't know how. It's something you have to type in at least once every time you reboot it, and every once in a while, the iPhone says you need to put your password in. But if you're having trouble, there's about half a dozen ways that you can reset your password. And, last resort, you can erase your phone. But there's several ways to recover. So definitely check the information out. I have it up in the link for you. So you can, have some tips here on to unlock your iPhone when you forget the passcode. Okay? Amazon's all new Echo 10 things you need to know. So they've got information about the all-new Amazon Echo. It's a pretty stylish little device. I don't need any more Amazon devices here in the house. We've already got three. But there's six unique styles. It's got multi-room audio. There's a multi-pack. There's free calling on it. There's the Echo, the Short, and the Stout. It's kind of funny how they call those. You definitely can listen to podcasts on it. You can listen to Dish, NPR News, Sirius XM, so forth. Excuse me. It's basically a more powerful Echo. And you can definitely check out all the new features that are available in this particular blog post again. Also, if you've ever been on Twitter and having a conversation and wonder if you thought it was a bot, this weekend I had someone that was watching the show and they were started sending me email and then sending all kinds of crazy things on Twitter, and I ultimately blocked them. I don't do that very often. But there's some cool tricks to figure out if the person you're talking to on Twitter is actually a real person. Some tips from lifehacker.com. Seems like today's the show of tips, right? Another cool product I just found is a $35 APC UPS. And this is just a little UPS that sits on the desk. You know, all the UPSs I have are under the desk and really not easy to get to. And, you know, there's strong devices for, APC is good for, you know, keeping things on when the power goes out or protecting it. But this battery backup that they have actually serves a couple of purposes. It powers devices on your desk, and it also will charge your devices. So a protected power to charge your devices as well. APCs that can recharge a phone 5 times before needing, they've got a little battery pack too. So not long do they have the APC battery backup, they've got a slot to stick a battery in. Now that's kind of slick. Is that the same battery it uses to keep the devices on? Or is that an additional battery? Now that's yet to be said. Huh. Which would provide any connected electronics extra time to properly shut down. Okay, so it does still give you some time to shut devices down even with the batteries in it. So anyway, cool, cute little desktop UPS for $35 from the folks at APC. If you shop at Target, they're about ready to introduce some new stuff this holiday season with its official mobile payment system, which has been referred to as Target Pay. You know, why can't these companies just use like Apple Pay or something? I don't get it. I think what it is they probably earn more. They probably don't pay as many fees when you pay through their app, so they probably make more money. Anyway, so if you shop at Target, you can pay with Target Pay. But you know, how many of you guys actually use Apple Pay or any of that stuff? I find myself, you know, breaking out the credit card 99% of the time. Just I haven't used Apple Pay that much. I know a lot of folks swear by it. Are you using it? Love to hear from you if you are. Did you know there's a robot? Yes, but as in robot, a robot that's a butt. Meet Robot, the robotic butt Ford uses to test its car seats. Ford has built itself a mechanical butt, dubbed the robot, which it uses to test its car seats. Why don't they use a human butt to test car seats? The car maker explains in the video how it covers its seats with a pressure-sensitive mat to help understand how people get in and out of vehicles. Using this information, they can adjust the seat to make sure it'll stay comfortable over its lifetime. And to test this, they deploy Robot, a stuffed torso fixed on the end of an industrial robotic arm, which sits on a prototype chair again and again and again and again. Ford says with this method, they can recreate 10 years of use in just 3 weeks. Oh, okay. Makes sense. As lightning as Robot is, this is far from the first robotic butt we've seen, according to folks at The Verge. It's well known that phone makers like Samsung, LG also use robot butts to test whether their device will bend when sat on. Uh-huh. We've all sat on our phone at least once or twice, but you can be assured that your phone won't break because they used a robot. YouTube TV is rolling out an Apple TV, Roku, Xbox One, and more. This is fantastic. Over the last 5 years, major cable and satellite television providers in the U.S. have lost millions of subscribers. This is not going to slow down. YouTube is seeing a big opportunity. 6 months ago, it launched its own take on a pay service, a bundle of about 40 channels for $35 a month, spiced up with YouTube's personalization, and unlimited DVR in the cloud and some online originals thrown in for good measure. You could watch on a mobile device, computer, and throw it on your big screen. Today, the company's rolling out YouTube TV app that will work on native on living room hardware like smart TV, streaming boxes, and game consoles. This is fantastic news. I can't wait till my Samsung has this. This is a killer. I've been wondering when this is going to happen. This is awesome. Smart YouTube. You've got a winner here. I really think you do. And, anyway, I'm going to definitely be looking for this. Either if it goes into my Roku or wherever it happens, ends up first on my Android TV. This is the shizniz. This is awesome. It is absolutely awesome. And, so we've got some new cable cutting choices, folks. The speed of cable cutting is going to accelerate exponentially from here on out. Do you like Blackberries? Most people don't. Most people are done with Blackberries. But I think you're really going to be done with Blackberries after you hear this statement. The Blackberry CEO promises to try to break customers' encryption if the U.S. government asks him to. Wow. There's one cell company that's been conspicuously absent from these discussions. A lot of that conspicuous absence has to do with its conspicuous absence from the cell phone marketplace. Pretty much regulated a government enterprise user, BlackBerry has been offering encrypted messaging for years, but it's offering a different sort of encryption, one it can remove if needed. Enterprise users hold their own encryption keys, but individual nobodies have their encryption keys held by BlackBerry. BlackBerry would like to be held up as a responsible encryption poster boy by the Department of Justice if only it had enough market share to make really a difference. And instead of its limited use to the Department of Justice and FBI, I'm going to tell you, if you have a government phone, good news for you, if you have a government phone, it's subject to monitoring and anything already, okay? So it's not like they're going to have to break it. They're probably already being recorded, everything you do, say, who knows, but that is the story out of BlackBerry. SpaceX has landed its 13th Falcon 9 rocket of the year. This I didn't know they're having a launch today. They launched a Falcon 9 rocket from Florida. That rocket's mission was to send a satellite known as the KoreaSat-5A into space, where it'll hang above Earth for 15 years, providing communication bandwidth to Korean Southern Asia. The launch course went off successfully, and the Falcon 9 rocket again landed aboard SpaceX autonomous barge. And again, it was the 13th successful landing of a Falcon 9 rocket this year. I don't know if it was a reusable rocket or not, but that launch went down successful today. Good for them. Apple is designing iPhones, iPads that are going to drop Qualcomm components. Whoa. This is big. You know, there's an intensifying legal battle with Qualcomm. And basically, Apple's decided that it's just designing iPhones and iPads that would jettison the chipmaker's components, according to people familiar with the matter. How they're going to get around these patents is a good question. Again, Apple's considering building devices only with modem chips from Intel and possibly MediaTek because San Diego, California-based Qualcomm has withheld software critical testing its chips in the iPhone and iPad prototypes, according to folks that were willing to talk. Qualcomm has worked with Apple for a decade, stopped sharing the software after Apple filed a federal lawsuit in January accusing Qualcomm of using its market dominance unfairly to block competitors and charge exorbitant patent royalties. Qualcomm has said Apple is mischaracterizing its practices. So this is a big move. This is a big, big move. Qualcomm last year sold around $3.2 billion worth of modem chips to Apple alone, or 20% of its total chip sales. This year's Qualcomm chip sales to Apple are likely to come to $2.1 billion, or 13% of total chip revenue. But imagine one company losing 13 to 20% of its revenue overnight. That's definitely going to impact their stock if it hasn't already. The FCC wants to impose a cap on broadband funding for poor families. Chairman Ajit Pai wants to impose a budget cap. Under previous chairman Tom Wheeler, the 32-year-old Lifeline program was expanded to let people use a $9.25 monthly household subsidy to buy internet services. Previously, the subsidy could only be used for phone service. But when Pai took over chairmanship, he got to work rolling back some of Wheeler's Lifeline changes. He ramped up his attempt to place limits on Lifeline last week, with a proposal will likely be approved by the commission. Pai's plan titled Budgeting the Digital Divide for Low-Income Consumers proposes a new self-enforcing budget cap that would limit Lifeline spending. His proposal does include a specific amount for the cap. Instead, the commissioners wrote, we intend the program to automatically make adjustments in order to maintain the cap in the event the budget is exceeded. So they spend about $2.25 billion. Is that right? $2.25 billion? That's what they spend on that? On Lifeline? I didn't realize it was that much. There's that many people getting $9.25 a month? Someone do the math. 925 times 12 and divide that by 2.25 billion. That can't be right. It can't be right. I just about fell out of my chair here. I'm going to have to do the math on that. Unbelievable. Let's think about it. Was that 1.2 million people? Wow. Samsung's browser comes to all Android phones and get an ad tracker blocker. So Samsung's good browser is available on all Android phones running Android 5.0 and above. In the same update, Samsung Internet is also getting built-in ad tracking blocking. Users of Android devices can find the Samsung Internet app in the Play Store or on the Galaxy App Store. Previously, Samsung Internet was only available on Samsung devices and Google Nexus and Pixel devices, but it is available now to all phones. All right? Interesting. Wonder how they got it loaded by default. Microsoft has canned Outlook.com Premium as it rolls features into Office 365. So if you were going to upgrade to that or have that, you can't. You have to now go with Office 365. All right? Google. You know, I guess this is a thing. People are like their emojis, right? But I guess people were not happy with the cheeseburger emoji by Google. And I'm like, really? But, you know, they were doing some comparisons here. So for those of you that don't know what's going on, oh, come on, I'm getting an ad. You guys just got advertised to. Oh, my God, I can't close this thing. Come on. This is an ad I can't close. I'm trying to close it, and it won't let me close it. That was annoying. Uber Gizmo, naughty, naughty, naughty. So here's the deal. Oh, I got to move some stuff. This cup is, don't you hate it when a cup sweats? I got in this big jug, it's sweating everywhere. The apple cheeseburger emoji, much, much nicer than the Google cheeseburger or hamburger emoji. Google CEO says they're going to fix that. They're going to prioritize fixing that emoji. Who pays attention to these details? I guess designers do. But some person, some author, posted a tweet regarding the hamburger emoji and basically comparing it and saying how the apple emoji was so much nicer. Oh, man. People have way too much time on their hands. Hey, 1.7 million SNES classics have shipped. I still haven't got one. Anybody got one? I'm doing the call out. I need help getting one. I don't want to pay $160 for it. They're available on eBay for $160 and on Amazon. But it's a $70 unit. Please, if you see one, if you haven't bought one, I'm good for it. Now, probably 10 of you will buy them, and then I'll owe $700. But, you feel free. Feel free to email me and say, Todd, I'm standing here in front of one. I'm on my phone all the time. Do you want me to get one? And I'll send an email back saying yes. But or if someone sees one available on sale, help the geek out here. Hey, Skype's chat focused desktop redesign is available for everyone. So if you wanted to check out Skype's huge desktop redesign, Microsoft released this finished version of its big overhaul for Linux, Mac, and Windows users. And so anyway, it's got some updates in there. And if you're part of the Skype Insider program, you'll get it early. Otherwise, stand by. Soon to be available to everyone. The BMW Z8 owned by Steve Jobs is to fetch $400,000 at an auction. So I don't know if this is the car that he drove like a madman, but anyway, there's some stories about the Z8. And basically Steve was encouraged to buy this by Oracle CEO Larry Ellison in 2000. And he was able to convince Jobs that the car not only matched Apple's products and Jobs' psyche, but was also a high-quality product. And Jobs reportedly kept this car for 3 years before selling to someone in L.A. who later sold it to a Bay Area tech executive. The car's in good condition. It only has 15,000 miles on it. Someone bought this as an investment, stuck it in storage. So anyway, you want Steve Jobs' car? $400K is what the predicted auction price is going to go for. Now, there's nothing like opening up a new business and getting off the ground and launching and getting customers. But can you imagine running a fake tech support business where you scam people out of money trying to make them think that they had malware on their computer? Well, a fake tech support team, aka scam team, husband and wife have banned for life from the computer repair world. America's trade regulator, FTC, said today that its settlement deal with Madhu and Isla Sete would comprise both a $2 million fine and order that neither can operate any business that provides any planned program or software marketed to repair, maintain, or improve a computer's performance security, including registry cleaners, antivirus programs, anti-malware programs, firewall programs, and computer software diagnostic services. So they've been basically told you cannot run that sort of a business ever again. Imagine that, of having that option completely removed. Wow. And pay a $2 million fine on top. Amazing. Netflix today canceled House of Cards, canceled by the Kevin Spacey sexual assault claims. So, wow. Just crash and burn time, isn't it? It's all across the space. Crash and burn. And what's interesting is this particular story had made it on other websites many years ago, but was really never picked up anywhere else. So this was not an unknown particular event. Wow. That's just really amazing. Best Buy is charging an extra $100 for an iPhone X, claims this benefits customers. The iPhone X went for pre-orders late last week. It's already listed with a 5 to 6 wait time. So if you're hoping to have one at Christmas, or you'd best get that order made sooner, not later. But Best Buy immediately slapped a $100 surcharge on it for no particular reason. Best Buy prices started at $1,099. The base version and $1,249 for the 256 variant. Best Buy is basically attempting to argue these prices were justified by how the company offers in-stock models that can work with any carrier. What it is supply and demand is what it is. That's what's going on there. Shame on you, Best Buy, for doing that. The Essentia phone gains a fingerprint sensor, gesture, and a crack patch. Although the Essentia phone had a fairly rocket launch, frequent software updates, and a substantial price cut have quickly turned the device into one of the most appealing Android handsets around for under $500. Essentia recently pushed out another Nougat-based build while waiting for the Oreo beta to launch. And the biggest change, including fingerprint, sensor gestures, and a fix for crack. And that's a hack that's going around right now. So if you're into Android and looking for a new phone, it's being updated a lot. Hey, if you want to get a Canon EOS Rebel T6, there's a DSLR kit available for $279.64. This is a great little camera. It does nice video stuff too. It's normally priced, I believe, at $550, and it costs $450 most places, so $279.64 is a pretty good price. And of course, again, it's a nice picture. It's a nice camera. Maybe upgrade the lens on it, set from the kit lens, but you definitely can do video on this. A lot of my son's friends have this camera for their video program. The Google Pixel 2 XL is also appearing to suffer from poor audio recording quality. If that is important to you, they expect a fix in the next couple of weeks. Okay, and also they've got screen problems, of course. With the Google Pixel 2 XL. So it's not only that, but it's got audio issues. So, wow, a lot of stuff going on in the tech space. I made it done to the end here on time. How about that? And let me see what I've got in email that came in. Nothing new. You guys have been avoiding me. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. I want to thank you all for being here, and I want to thank you all for supporting a sponsor, and thank you for continuing supporting this show. And thank you for continuing to tune in and listening to the podcast. I definitely appreciate it. It's been my pleasure to bring you today's show. And definitely want to hear from you. But I'll be back with you on Thursday with another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. And I remember, this coming weekend, you're going to be changing your clocks. I don't change mine, but I get to basically catch up to you guys a little bit. It'll only be 5 hours the East Coast versus six for a few months, and I always like that a lot. But hey, thank you very much for being with me today. Hope you enjoyed some insights and the tech stories, and definitely make sure you stay subscribed to the show. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.